Hello and welcome. Yes, welcome to Madrid en Inglés. Madrid in English, a tour, a colorful educational tour of our capital, Madrid, and of our region, La Comunidad de Madrid. Learn English with me, Richard Vaughn, using Madrid as our base of operations. Let's go. Hello, good morning, and welcome. Yes, welcome to a new program. This is not a new program because we started last week. But welcome to a new edition of Madrid en Inglés. My name is Richard Vaughn. I'm a new collaborator with Onda Madrid. Con mucha honra. I'm enjoying it very much for the moment. And I'm here to talk to you about Madrid, about the community of Madrid, or the region of Madrid. In English, I will use occasional Spanish or clarify something phonetically or grammatically, speaking Spanish. But in general, I think 90% of everything I say will be in English. And last week, I gave a brief introduction to this program. And today I'm going to go back a bit to my life history, my biography, as it pertains to Madrid, as it relates to Madrid. My biography as it relates to Madrid, or as it pertains to Madrid. I was born in Houston, Texas. Soy Tejano. Dicen Tejano gordo y sano, although I'm not fat. Sano quizás. I don't know. But I was born in Houston. I grew up my first 9 years in Houston, Texas. And my father was transferred with the family to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And my next 9 years were in Tulsa. And then I went to the university in Dallas, Texas, Southern Methodist University, SMU, Southern Methodist University, in Dallas, Texas. And there, I spent my first 2 years of the four-year university cycle. And during the second year, I saw an announcement on a bulletin board, un tablón de anuncios, en la Facultad de Lengua Española, in the School of Spanish Language and Literature. I saw a bulletin board that said, spend your junior year in Madrid. Pase su tercer año universitario, en inglés es año junior, es el penúltimo. Spend your junior year in Madrid through the program organized by SMU, by the university. And I said, cool, genial, mola, cool, why not? And so I spoke to the people in the Department of Spanish Language and Literature at the university, and they encouraged me, me animaron, me alentaron, they encouraged me to think seriously about doing my third year in Madrid through Southern Methodist University in collaboration with the Complutense, la Universidad Complutense de Madrid. I spoke to my parents and they supported my idea. Besides, I knew Spanish. I didn't know Spanish very well. But I had spent 6 years in secondary school from age 13 to age 18 taking Spanish classes. Of course, Spanish classes with 20 or 30 students, similar to clase de inglés en el colegio aquí. And so my Spanish was not the best in the world, but I had a fairly good command, bastante buen dominio. Fíjense, fijaos, digo command, comanda. I had a fairly good command. También nos podemos decir, I had a fairly good mastery. Fairly means bastante. a fairly good, bastante. No lo todo, pero bastante. A fairly good command of Spanish, spoken Spanish, a fairly good mastery of spoken Spanish after 6 years. And so I thought, okay, I will go to Spain, specifically to Madrid, and I will spend my third academic year of the university in Madrid, and then I will return to Dallas to complete my degree, to finish my studies in the fourth year. And as I said, my parents supported it, so I came to Spain. I flew from Tulsa, Oklahoma, to New York City. I met with in Kennedy Airport with the other students from SMU, about 30 students, who were planning to come here to Madrid. And we flew to Paris and spent 5 or 6 days in Paris. Then we took a night train, tren de noche, tren nocturno. We caught a night train from Paris to Barcelona. And we spent 2 weeks in Barcelona before finally coming to Madrid. My first contact with Spain was Barcelona. And it was an interesting contact because, of course, Barcelona is a very interesting city. In fact, Barcelona has a stronger immediate impact than Madrid. I prefer Madrid over Barcelona. However, I like Barcelona very much as a city. And I repeat, it makes a stronger initial impact than Madrid. Madrid, for me, is an acquired taste. Un gusto adquirido. An acquired taste. And that means as time goes by, if you live in Madrid, you begin to discover the secrets, you begin to discover the good things about Madrid, and many times you end up falling in love. Acabas enamorándote de Madrid. Barcelona's immediate. Me encanta esta ciudad. I love this city. Madrid, okay. But after 5 years, usually people prefer Madrid over Barcelona. But I repeat, Barcelona is a very nice city. I like it very, very much. If Madrid is quality 10, Barcelona is quality 9 or 9.5. But for the first impact, it makes a stronger impression, in my opinion. Of course, you have Las Ramblas. You have the port. You have the Puerto Deportivo. You have the beach. You have the Sagrada Familia, the Holy Family or Sacred Family. You have the Tibidabo. You have the Montjuïc. You have the Plaza de España and the old Recinto Ferial from 1929, I believe. And you have the Paseo de Gracia, just really, and you have the Barrio Gótico, of course, the cathedral. And yes, it's a very, very nice city. Really, very interesting city. But I repeat, I prefer Madrid. However, my first contact with Spain was crossing the border in Port Bo in Girona. And in the morning, in the very early morning, and then when the train was entering Badalona, not Barcelona yet, Greater Barcelona. Barcelona es zona metropolitana que incluye Badalona. Se dice Greater Madrid, for example, includes Móstoles, Alcorcón, Getafe, Leganés, Villaviciosa, etc. It's Greater Madrid. Se Madrid es zona metropolitana. Madrid, zona de influencia. Hasta Villalba. And so Greater Barcelona, of course, includes Badalona. And I remember coming, as the train was approaching Barcelona, passing through Badalona, I was standing in the corridor of the train. These are old trains with compartments and pasillos and corridors. And I was standing at the window looking out. This was 1972. This was 52 years ago. long time. I'm an old man. And this is 1972. And Spain, the country, was at the end of its economic boom. Spain, like Italy and Greece and Turkey and other countries, Portugal, experienced an economic boom in the 1960s, thanks in great part to Germany and Switzerland and Belgium, the Netherlands, Great Britain, because the economies were booming and they needed a lot of manpower, labor, and maybe 1 or 2 million Spaniards during the late 50s and in the 60s migrated to Germany and to other countries and were working there, sending money back to their families in Spain. So enormous amounts of money, transfers of money from Germany, Switzerland, Great Britain, the Netherlands were coming back to Spain. And that was a lot of money. And at the same time, because of the European boom, tourism became very important in the 1960s, and Spain was making a lot of money from tourists as well. And so this produced a boom in Spain and a displacement of people. Farming, la agricultura, mecanización, starting in the mid-1950s, tractors, harvester combines, balers, tractores, cosechadoras, empacadoras, became common in Spain. And so there was a big displacement of rural workers, rural population, farm workers from the country to the city, to Madrid, to Bilbao, to Barcelona, to others, and to Germany, Switzerland, etc. And this was the economic boom of the 1960s. Now, in 1972, when I was crossing the border on the train and entering Badalona, Camino de Barcelona, this was the last or next to last year, penultimo año quizás, of the Spanish economic boom. And in Badalona, there were maybe 30 or 40 buildings, edificios en construcción, buildings under construction. En construcción se suele decir en inglés bajo construcción, under construction. And there were probably 30 or 40 tower cranes decorating the skyline. The skyline of Badalona at that time was not buildings, it was tower cranes. Yes. Yeah. Gruas Torre. Tower cranes. But it was interesting because on the top of every building under construction, there was a big, enormous sign. Letreros enormes. They said, Venta de pisos. Venta de pisos. Venta de pisos. En todos los sitios. And I didn't understand that. I understood venta, sale, escrito sale, sale, pisos. Because when I was studying Spanish in Oklahoma, piso was the synonym of suelo. Piso era un suelo. Está en el piso, está en el suelo. And so I didn't understand, ¿por qué venden suelos, tantos suelos, in Badalona or Barcelona? I didn't, of course, later I learned that piso in Spain means apartamento grande, because in United States, for a piso, we say apartment or condominium, condo, condominium. We don't say a flat. Now, the British, yes, the British say flats. In Great Britain, yo vivo en un piso is I live in a flat. Flat como plano, llano, flat. I live in a flat. But in the United States, I live in a condo. Condo, condominio, condominium, which means apartamentos en propiedad. Compartiendo el suelo de dicha propiedad. De dicho edificio. And so it's a condominium. And so that was my first misunderstanding with the Spanish language. But as I said, we spent 2 weeks in Barcelona. Very productive, very interesting, very fun 2 weeks. We went to Villafranca del Penedès. We visited Montjuïc excuse me, we visited Montserrat. Bueno, Montjuï también, in Barcelona. We visited Montserrat, we visited Castelldefels and Sitges, and even Peñíscola in the province of Castellón. But after those 2 weeks, we took a train, the 30 students and two or three professors. We took a train to Madrid. We came here. And so my first contact with the city of Madrid in my life was the Estación de Atocha, the Atocha train station. And because the train went from Barcelona to Valencia and then from Valencia to here to Madrid. And from the Atocha train station, there were two buses waiting for, or one bus waiting for us. And that bus took us to the Colegio Mayor José Antonio. The Colegio Mayor José Antonio. Avenida de la Memoria, hoy en día se llama, que es el inicio de la carretera de Coruña. Then where you have the Arco de Triunfo, the Arc of Triumph in the Moncloa. And that's the beginning of the Coruña Highway. And once you come out of the tunnel under the Arc of Triumph, you come out. On the left, immediately, before Palacio de la Moncloa, you have what was at that time in Colegio Mayor José Antonio. And you have the the Casa do Brasil as well, within the complex of the Complutense University. Now, today, the Colegio Mayor José Antonio is the el edificio de rectorado de la Universidad Complutense de Madrid. And so that was my first contact with Madrid. And for 2 weeks, the 30 students, myself and another maybe 30 or 31 students, we spent 2 weeks in the Colegio Mayor José Antonio. One wing of the building was for male students, boys, and the other wing, la otra ala, was for females. However, the dining facilities, cafeteria y comedor, were common to boys and girls. And I remember my first impression of Spanish women, Spanish females, after Barcelona. My first impression of Madrid girls, students, female students, was in the comedor for the breakfasts. And I noticed that at 8 o'clock or 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, the boys and girls, I was paying attention to the girls, of course. I was not interested in the boys. I was paying attention to the girls, but I noticed that they were sitting at their tables drinking a café con leche, a coffee with milk. And they were sitting with their eyes closed, stirring the coffee. And I thought it was interesting because their eyes were closed and they continued stirring the coffee. To stir, escrito stir, S-T-I-R, S-T-I-R, stir, is remover el café con una cuchara. With a spoon, you stir the coffee. And they were stirring the coffee with their eyes closed, slowly waking up. And they stirred the coffee for maybe, I don't know, 1 or 2 minutes before they started drinking the coffee. Another thing I noticed is that they stirred the coffee clockwise. En el sentido de las agujas del reloj. Removían el café. Later, I noticed that all Spanish people stir coffee that way. All my life, I stirred coffee or any drinks the opposite, counterclockwise. Yes. But maybe I'm the strange one. I don't know. But in any case, my first andanzas por Madrid. My first adventures in Madrid were my base of operations was the Colegio Mayor José Antonio in lo que hoy se llama Avenida La Memoria, which is the name they gave to the first part of the Autopista La Coruña, or Carretera La Coruña, the Coruña Highway, leaving Moncloa in the direction of Aravaca, Pozuelo, Majadonda, Las Rozas, and La Coruña, all the way. And so I'll be back. I'm going to take a short break. But I'll be back and continue the story of my very first days in Madrid.
Chinchón, con su icónica plaza, escenario de grandes películas de la historia, el túnel de Zacatín bajo la singular Plaza Mayor de Colmenar de Oreja, el Museo de Cine de Villarejo de Salvanés, el impresionante Palacio de Goyeneche de Nuevo Bazán, primer proyecto urbanístico...
Imposible contarte en tan poco tiempo todo lo que puedes descubrir en las villas de Madrid. El mejor estilo de vida del mundo. Comunidad de Madrid.
Destacar en el mercado inmobiliario de Madrid puede ser un reto. Conseguirlo es nuestro objetivo. Legido Gestión Inmobiliaria. Agencia especializada en venta y alquiler de vivienda a través del home staging. Una técnica de estilismo y decoración para que el cliente sienta lo que necesita. Una vivienda adaptada a sus necesidades. Le esperamos en legidoinmobiliaria.com. Convertimos cada casa en un hogar único.
¿Eres propietario de una segunda vivienda? Ahora con el Plan Alquila de la Comunidad de Madrid puedes maximizar tus ingresos y asegurar tu propiedad con toda tranquilidad. Asistencia especializada, asesoría jurídica, beneficios fiscales y seguro de impago gratuito hasta 3 años. Plan Alquila. Tu vivienda en buenas manos. Infórmate. Comunidad de Madrid.
¿No sería bonito heredar un mundo lleno de oportunidades? Haz tu testamento solidario a favor de Cruz Roja para dejar un mundo más justo. Transforma tu compromiso en educación, empleo, compañía. Infórmate en testamentosolidario.cruzrojamadrid.com o en el 666-454304. Cruz Roja. Testamento Solidario.
Vive una experiencia gastronómica en el Asador Villaranda. Asados en horno de leña a la antigua usanza. Calidad y tradición se unen para evocar la auténtica cocina castellana. Asadorvillaranda.com.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, we're back for our second section of Madrid in English. Madrid in English. My name's Richard Vaughan, if you're joining us right now. I'm an English teacher. My job is to teach English. However, I'm not going to teach English directly here in my program with Onda Madrid. I'm not going to teach English directly. I'm going to expose you to English. So, in essence, I'm going to teach English indirectly. I'm going to help you with your listening comprehension. And I'm going to make English more familiar. If you listen to me on a regular basis, you will see that your English will improve. Your listening comprehension will improve. Your connection with the language will become more familiar, perhaps more intimate. You will begin to like the language more. And that's psychologically a very important step in improving. When you begin to like a foreign language, you naturally improve more quickly. And so that's my objective here is not necessarily to speak about Madrid. You know, Madrid and the community of Madrid, the province or region of Madrid. My objective is to use Madrid and the region as a base of operations, base de operaciones, to use English. Because Onda Madrid is a radio whose objective is to serve the people in the community of Madrid in a positive way and to make a positive impact on the people. And so I'm here to help you with English, but I don't want to teach irregular verbs, phrasal verbs, auxiliary verbs, adjectives, adverbs, the conditional, the present perfect, the simple past. No, I'm here to expose you to English, exponeros al inglés, talking about Madrid. I've been living in Madrid probably longer than you have. I came to Madrid as a student in 1972, 52 years ago. I stayed for 1 year, one academic year, and then I returned to Texas to finish my higher education. And then I returned to Spain in 1974, and I have been living in Madrid Since then, well, miento. Almost living in Madrid, because I spent 10 months living in La Alcarria, in La Central Nuclear de Sorita y en Almonacid de Sorita. And so in the province of Guadalajara, which is not Madrid, of course. But barring those 10 months, fijaos como lo acabo de decir, barring, como poner una barra, barring those 10 months, o sea, con la excepción de esos 10 meses, barring, except for those 10 months, barring those 10 months, I've been living in Madrid since 1974, permanently. And I was here in the academic year, 72-73. But getting back to my story that I was talking about before the break, I was, my first, let's say, house, or my first apartment, my first place of residence was the Colegio Mayor José Antonio on the campus of the Complutense. And it's interesting because what gives me, ¿qué es lo que me da derecho a hablar de Madrid? First, I've been living in Madrid for 50 years or more. Second, I have lived on 17 different streets in Madrid in my life. It's interesting that in the United States, I lived in the United States for 21 years. 21 years of my life I spent in the United States, the rest in Spain. However, in the United States, I lived on 17 different streets at different points in my life in those 21 years. 17. In Houston, 3 streets. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, 3 streets. In Dallas, Texas, 3 different houses on 3 different streets. In Corpus Christi, Texas, 1 street. In Austin, 3. In Amarillo, Texas, 1. In Tulsa, 4 streets, I'm sorry. And in New York City, 1 street. And so it adds up. Suman, 16 calles donde he vivido, diferentes calles en Estados Unidos. So I've lived in the United States, I lived, pasado simple, I lived in many different streets, 17. And curiously, in Spain, the same. 17. I've lived in Avenida de Memoria, which is the Carretera Barcelona, Carretera de Coruña, excuse me. Pintor Rosales, Calle de la Luna, Calle de los Astros, in the Barrio La Estrella, or Barrio de Estrella. Doctor Izquierdo, Fuencarral. Then I lived in Almonacid de Sorita, in the province of Guadalajara. Then I lived in La Central misma, the Residencia, La Central Nuclear de Sorita. Then I lived in Princesa Número 8. But then I lived in a second place in the Meliá Madrid, or Meliá Princesa. Then I lived in Calle de los Dos Amigos. ¿A que no sabe dónde está eso? I'll tell you later. Not today, perhaps, but maybe tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, or maybe in 1 month. And then Virgen del Val in Barrio La Concepción. Then in Hernández de Tejada, next to Arturo Soria. Then in La Travesía del Conde Duque, near the Cuartel del Conde Duque, in the Palacio de Liria. And then in Calle de la Academia, behind the Prado Museum and the Real Academia Española. And then in Avenida Filipinas. And finally, in the street where I live now, which I'm not going to say. I'm not going to tell you where I live now. All right, so it's not a secret, but it's just, okay, maybe someday. I've lived in 17 different streets I've lived in 15 different streets in Madrid since 1972. Okay, 17 if we count Almonacid de Sorita y La Central Nuclear de Sorita in Guadalajara. And that doesn't count because that's not in Madrid. All right. So 15. I've lived in 15 different streets in this city. It's interesting that where I live now, the street whose name I'm not going to say. I've been here for 5 years, five and a half years. And I remember the first or second month, 5 years ago, when I was here, I coincided on the elevator with a gentleman who lives on the second floor. And I asked him, I said, how long have you been living? I said, I'm new here. How long have you been living here? And he said, I was born here. Yo nací en esta casa. Yo nací en esta casa. Y tendría 70 años. So his life has been the opposite of mine. In my life, I have lived on 34 different streets. This man, all his life, and he's maybe the same age, maybe 2 years older than me. He's been living in the same house, on the same street, for 70 years, since the day he was born. And probably he has gone to the, you know, probably he went to the same school with the same classmates from parvulos, you know, from kindergarten to the baccalaureate, bachillerato. Whereas in my case, I went to, by God, I don't know how many different schools. Let's see, Longfellow Elementary School, Carnegie is two, Nimitz, Byrd, Memorial, SMU, University of Texas, Eliese. I mean, I've gone to 8 different schools, and in each one meeting new people. So our lives are completely different. I have a very open social personality, and this man doesn't. So maybe a conclusion we can draw from this is that it's good to move to different neighborhoods, or for children who are growing up, children and adolescents, to move from one neighborhood to another, from one school to another, because it requires them to make new friends, to learn new things, to adapt. And becoming adaptable, when you have to make new friends, you have to open up socially. When you have the same friends every year, you know, for 12 years or 13 years of to escolaridad, of the, your school years prior to the university, well, if you have the same classmates every year, you don't really develop this skill of having to break the ice again and again with new people. But getting back to our story, my first 2 weeks in Madrid are in the Colegio Mayor José Antonio. Francisco Franco was the head of state, el caudillo de España, por la gracia de Dios, decían las monedas. Francisco Franco, caudillo de España por la G punto de Dios. That's what was the, all of the coins said, and I thought that was interesting. As an American, of course, the United States is a republic. Okay. Spain is a monarch. Well, now Spain is a monarchy. In 1972, it was not. Spain basically was a dictatorship. But life was very calm, very safe in 1972. And so I prefer a republic. However, in Spain, I defend the monarchy because I think it's a stabilizing force in this country. Spain has had a lot of trouble maintaining stability. And I think Spain has, since the Constitution was passed in 1978, I believe that this period from 1978 until today, that's 44 years or more? 78? No, 46 years. Yes, 46 years. Spain has managed to achieve, ha logrado lograr, valga la redundancia en español, pero no es redundante en inglés, ha logrado conseguir, o ha conseguido lograr, has managed to achieve an important degree of stability that is perhaps we are achieving the most stable period in Spanish history, maybe. Who knows? And so I'm a defender of the Spanish monarchy for this reason. for more practical reasons than philosophical reasons. But your philosophy can change if you see that practical things go better under one type of regime or one type of political system or another. So, who knows? But let's get back to the story, because I only have 1 hour today, 52 minutes to talk. And so I'm in the Colegio Mayor José Antonio. Very good. For 2 weeks. But we needed, myself and my classmates, or the fellow students in my group from Dallas, we needed to find a permanent apartment to live in during the first semester, during the fall semester, semestre de otoño. This was at the very beginning of September, or the last final days of August, 1972. And so the SMU, the director of the program, assigned female students from the Complutense to find apartments for the different students. And a girl by the name of Anna, I don't remember her last name, she found an apartment for myself and three other male students, in El Paseo del Pintor Rosales, un piso interior, 2 bedrooms. So I shared a room with Bob Whitaker, a friend of mine, a student, and the other room was shared by 2 other male students. And for that semester, we lived on Rosales. I didn't know that Rosales was one of the, let's say, one of the most sophisticated streets in Madrid. I didn't know that I was living in one of the best streets in Madrid. En un piso interior, eso sí, but it was a very, very nice area, of course. And from there, I went to class every day, but I'll tell you after the break.
Los soportales y balconadas de la Plaza de Segovia de Navalcarnero. El majestuoso castillo de Manzanares el Real, rodeado de enclaves naturales increíbles como La Pedriza. El castillo de la Coracera de San Martín de Valdeiglesias. Sus playas en el pantano.
Imposible contarte en tan poco tiempo todo lo que puedes descubrir en las villas de Madrid. El mejor estilo de vida del mundo. Comunidad de Madrid.
En Royal Home vendemos tu casa sin sorpresas. Nos encargamos de todo y te regalamos el vaciado. Confía en Royal Home, tu inmobiliaria. Encuéntranos en royalhome.es.
Conéctate a la nueva teleasistencia avanzada de la Comunidad de Madrid. Contarás con el seguimiento y atención personalizada de psicólogos, personal de enfermería, terapeutas y fisioterapeutas. Además, se incorporan detectores de movimiento, de caídas y sensores de fuego, humo o gas. Llama al 012 Dependencia y conéctate a la seguridad de estar tranquilo. Proyecto financiado por la Unión Europea. Next Generation, Plan de Recuperación, Gobierno de España, Comunidad de Madrid.
¿Necesitas guardar tus muebles en espera de nueva vivienda o reforma? Confía en Estebaranz. Llevamos los contenedores a tu casa para una mínima manipulación. Mudanzas y guardamuebles Estebaranz, desde siempre a tu lado.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, I'm living with 3 other students from Southern Methodist University on El Paseo de Pintor Rosales in Madrid, September 1972. And the classes that we have are through the university, Southern Methodist University. Now, the place where we go is el Instituto de Cultura Hispánica. And that building is located, well, that building today has a different name. Está en el borde de la Complutense. It's on the edge of the Complutense, el campus, la ciudad universitaria, the campus of the Complutense. Today it's called la... I can't remember what it's called. Just a second. Maybe I can find out. It's called... A ver. Let me see. It's called la Agencia Española de Cooperación y qué. A ver. Agencia Española de Cooperación Internacional para el Desarrollo. I repeat. La Agencia Española de Cooperación Internacional para el Desarrollo. All right. At that time, in 1972, 52 years ago, it was not called Agencia Española, It was called Instituto de Cultura Hispánica. And it's to, and that building today is, well, and then is located between the La Clínica de la Concepción, Nuestra Señora de la Concepción, or el Hospital Universitario Fundación Jiménez Díaz, which most people in Madrid are familiar with that, located in the on Cristo Rey. And the Avenida de los Reyes Católicos is in front of that. The next building is el Instituto de Cultura Hispánica, and then el Museo de América. All right. It's a very nice building. And the top floor was for SMU, Southern Methodist University. Yes, for SMU. And there, every day, Monday to Friday, I walked from, well, I and the other, my flatmates, mis compañeros de piso, my flatmates, classmates, compañeros de clase, schoolmate, escrito mate, schoolmate, compañero de colegio o escuela, soulmate, compañero del alma, shipmate, compañero de barco, let's see, y más, classmate, of course, my classmates, and we walked from Rosales to the Instituto de Cultura Hispánica, crossing the walk bridge from the Moncloa area to this building. And it was a 25-minute walk. On the first or second day, I stopped in a bar along the way to have a breakfast of café con leche y churros. Now, the first time I had tried churros in my life was a few weeks before, during those 2 weeks I spent in Barcelona, in the Plaza Real, which is located just off Las Ramblas. There I tried churros for the first time. But I didn't like them very much because in Barcelona they put sugar on the churros. Azúcar. Los llenaba de azúcar. And I don't like sweets. I don't eat sugar. I like sugar. The only time that I eat sugar is with fresas, strawberries, con o sin nata, with sugar. And that's the only time in my life that I apply sugar to anything, because I don't like sweets. But in the case of strawberries, I like with the sugar. And so in Barcelona, they put sugar on the churros, and I didn't like it. But on the first or second day, walking from Rosales Street to the Instituto de Cultura Hispánica, hoy Agencia Española de Cooperación Internacional para el Desarrollo, I stopped on Princesa Street to have a coffee with churros, and I loved it. Wow. Delicioso. It was delicious. And so every morning for the semester, I usually stopped to have a coffee. However, the walk, the 25-minute walk from Rosales Street to the Instituto de Cultura Hispánica was always accompanied by rain. It rained every day in September and October. I thought, I said, my God, estoy en la selva tropical. Si no hubiera sido por la temperatura más fresca, habría pensado que estaba en Amazonas. Because raining every day. It was just constantly raining. And it rained so much that later, I found an article from the IMET. It's from the Asociación Española de Meteorología or something. And it said that the months of September and October 1972 was the wettest period in recorded Spanish history. When they started recording the precipitation in Spain in the mid-19th century, around 1860, and that the month of September and October 1972 was the wettest period in history. And since then, it has never been equaled. I don't know if I can find, if I can find it. Maybe I can. Maybe I can find the article about this. But it was very interesting. Let me find it. Let me see if I can find it. Come on. I don't think I'm going to be able to find it. Ah, here it is. I found it. Un otoño extraordinariamente lluvioso. El de 1972. Efectivamente, así puede denominarse el otoño de 1972 en la mayor parte de España, pues, aunque noviembre fue parcialmente seco, durante los meses de septiembre a octubre se registraron precipitaciones verdaderamente extraordinarias, que llegaron en numerosos lugares a superar muy sobradamente a las que figuraba como las más altas desde el comienzo del siglo actual. Okay, that was my introduction to Madrid. Bueno, Madrid, llueve más que en Dublín o en Londres, or in the selva tropical. I mean, it was just raining constantly, constantly. And I thought, my God. And so I need an umbrella, of course. But nevertheless, I was only 20 years old. I turned 21 in November. 1972, I turned 21 in El Día de la Almudena. It was a holiday in Madrid, Fiesta La Almudena. So Madrid celebrates my birthday every year with a holiday. Yeah. And so, but in any case, every day I went to the classes, and I had five subjects. One was Cultura Española, and the professor was an interesting man. He was a member of the Partido, how do you say, Partido Anarquista Clandestino. Of course, this is during the Franco period, so anarchists were illegal. But he always said he was a member of the clandestine anarchist party of Spain, and he always propagated the philosophy of no government, etc. However, he was very well off. He had a beautiful attico, a beautiful penthouse in ¿cómo es el, la Plaza Conde Valle de Suchil, all right, in Madrid, near Plaza San Bernardo, Glorieta de San Bernardo. And there, I remember, on two occasions, I went to his flat. And I remember going to the building and entering the portal, the door of the building. And on the elevator, there were five buttons from floor one to floor five. However, he lived on floor six, and there was no button. Well, miento, there was a button, but it was apart from and in a different location, was a black button with no number, no letter, nothing, just a black button. And my instructions were to push that button. Okay. So I pushed the black button with no number, separated from the other buttons on the panel, el panel, on the panel. And I went up to floor number six, and the elevator doors opened onto the salón, precioso salón. A very nice living room with a chimney. I remember the first time I went, there was a fire in the fireplace, in el hogar había fuego. Fogata, or something. I don't know what you call it in Spanish. And I said, my God, yo también quiero ser anarquista para vivir así. And he owned a Jaguar. Damaso. His name was Damaso. And he owned a Jaguar. Un Jaguar inglés. Which he bought in England. So the steering wheel was on the opposite side. El volante al otro lado. A lo inglés. However, Damaso had a, it's interesting, Damaso had a pastor alemán, a German shepherd, and he trained his dog to sit in the passenger seat of his Jaguar, un biplaza. And so he trained the dog to sit in the passenger seat, sitting up straight, muy erguido, as if the dog were driving the car. And so it gave the impression when he drove around Madrid, people looked and thought the dog was driving the car because the dog was sitting in the driver's seat of a normal continental European car. But of course, Damaso was driving the car on the right side, not on the left side of the car. And so it was funny. I saw him once in his car, and even knowing it, at first I had I did a double take. Hice un doble toma, which means mire, tuve que mirar dos veces, because it seemed like the dog was driving the car. That was one of my professors, Cultura Española. Another professor was Tomás, La Historia de la España Imperial, the history of Imperial Spain, and he was a very good teacher. He taught in English. He taught the class in English, and occasionally he made some mistakes. His English was not perfect. But his communication skills, yes, were perfect. He was a perfect communicator with imperfect grammar. And he made one funny mistake one time. And the class burst out laughing. To burst out laughing means prorrumpir en sollozos. No, lo contrario. Estallar de risa. And so he burst out laughing. También burst out crying is en sollozos. Okay, he burst... Because he said, the people in the Balearic Islands, las Islas Baleares, you know, Ibiza, Mallorca, Menorca, Formentera. He said the people in the, during the 16th century, La España Imperial, during the 16th century, the people in the Balearic Islands were very worried about a possible invasion of the turkeys. Un posible invasión de los pavos, una invasión de pavos. And of course, the student started laughing because we understood that he was referring to the Turks, los turcos. All right, que controlaban mucho el Mediterráneo en aquel entonces. And so it was funny because we understood he meant the Turks, and he was taken aback. He was surprised when people started laughing. He said, "What's the problem?" He said, "No, no, no, it's not the invasion of the turkeys. It's the invasion of the Turks." Of course, the country, Turquía, is called Turkey. And it's exactly the same word as pavo. Si dices que hay muchos pavos en Turquía, in English, there are a lot of turkeys in Turkey. However, the people are called Turks. And that's what I remember about that professor. Another professor I had was a very young 27 years old or 28 years old, a very young Javier Solana Madariaga, who of course later became a minister in the González government. He was also the Secretary General of NATO, la OTAN, and he was also el señor Pesca, as they said. He was the foreign minister of the European Union. He's a brilliant person, a wonderful person, and I met him when he was in the clandestine Socialist Party in 1972. But he was teaching the history of science. And so there were only four students in the class. Myself, three students, and Javier Solana. And we spent a semester together. It was a beautiful class, wonderful, very interesting. Talking about science, las ciencias, from the humanistic point of view. And so it was fascinating. And I had another class, La Generación del 28, with Carlos Bosonio. Through him, I met the Argentine short story writer, poet, and essayist, Jorge Luis Borges, who was completely blind at that time. And I also met the Mexican essayist and poet, Octavio Paz. So through Carlos Bosonio and in the Instituto de Cultura Hispánica, I managed to meet some very interesting people in the world of Spanish literature.